Start off with good morning. As you guys are all looking at these pictures, we're going to get into what this at least means to me. I'm going to start off with a story about Luke. It's got to be 4 or 5 years ago. Luke had to dress up for an event at school. He had to dress up as a famous American and give a few fun facts about it. And of course, Luke, being who Luke is, Luke chose Donald Trump, which was fantastic. He picked him. The whole time we're talking about it, he's looking up the fun facts. He's excited. The day of the presentation comes at school, and all of a sudden he gets nervous. And so I asked him, I said, you know, why are you nervous, Luke? He's like, I'm hoping that the person that I picked and my outfit is not going to offend anybody and it's not going to make them upset. And I tell you that because we're going to start this message out with the same nervousness that I have for myself today, that this is a message that God has pricked my heart about, and I hope that you get as much out of it as I have. So during the last couple days, few of you have reached out and texted me and said praying for you, and I may have explained to you that I was a little nervous. So two of the responses I got back from the text was, one says, God's got you. And the second one that I got said, let it flow. So with that being said, you guys asked for it. We're going to let it flow. Amen. You have this illustration that I've passed out to you. You can look at it now, as we're going to be referencing it often. But to start with, I'd like us to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. When you find it, please stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. We're going to read verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today thankful for the blessings you bestow upon us, Lord. We thank you for everything that you do for us, Lord. A lot of things that we take for granted, some things that we don't even notice, Lord, but we do praise you and thank you. We always want to start out in praise. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you give me the words that you want me to say, Lord. I pray that you will make my message clear for your people, that they are here on a Wednesday night, Lord, to worship you and to listen to your word. And Lord, it's in your precious name I will always pray. Amen. Amen. Guys can please be seated. The title of my message, if you guys look at the illustration, I had two of them. I couldn't pick which one I like, so you're going to get both. The first one is, who sits on the throne of your heart? And then just to sum that up, I also put throne check. What exactly does the word throne mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Webster's 1828 dictionary defines throne to place in an elevated position, to give an elevated place, or to exalt. So if we give this definition, anything that you give your heart to is on your throne. And we're going to start tonight by asking a question. What is on your throne tonight? I just noticed a few of you squirmed a little bit, maybe getting a little uneasy. Amen. That's good. Amen. Pastor talks about a lot of times that he's like, this message may step on your toes. And I'm going to repeat it. I feel like maybe this message is going to step on some people's toes in this room. But I promise you, it stepped on mine long before it stepped on yours. If you grab your illustration, let's look at it. There's three pictures on it. We're going to go over each one individually. The first picture, the top picture, shows man. Man is on the throne.
Yeah.
Christ, where is Christ? Christ is outside of the heart.
Right.
This is the representation of the lost.
Yep.
A phrase that I use at work quite often when I'm training people is, you don't know what you don't know. And I use that quite literally to describe myself when I first walked in here. I thought for a minute Brother Larry was going to spoil part of my message. But when I walked in here, I had earrings in, I was wearing shorts, tennis shoes, and I had a Tony Stewart NASCAR shirt on, which is all fine and dandy, right? If you could come here, we're going to accept everybody as they come through those doors. Amen?
Amen.
One of the sponsors for Tony Stewart happens to be Bud Light. So literally, my first day in church, I wore an alcohol shirt walking inside of church. And yet you all still accepted me. Pastor Hardesty had said once before, he said, 20 years ago, I might have run you and your family out of here. But as he's grown in time, he said, you didn't know what you didn't know. And that really has stuck to me from that time. The lost, they just don't know. They're ignorant. I was severely ignorant.
Right.
Took me, 43 years to find God. I was a functioning member of society. I was on my third marriage. I have 7 kids total. But life was hard. I was a good person. Side note on good person. Being a good person will not get you to heaven.
Right.
I just didn't know Jesus Christ. I was this first picture. I was the lost soul that walked in here. And it took me, about a month of preaching and hearing. As Brother Larry said, I sat up front. I said, if I'm going to come to church, I don't want to sit in the back and have to be distracted by everybody. I see them flick their hair and chew their nails. I want to sit up front. I want to hear from God. That's why I'm here. Myself, I was the one that was on the throne without the knowledge of Jesus. So now we're going to take these 3 pictures and we're going to talk about the life of Peter. And let's put his life into these 3 pictures. Let's start in Matthew chapter 4. If you don't want to follow along, you don't have to, because we're going to go to 5 different passages. And I know that they say that's a preaching no-no. But this is going to give you the context of my message of why I chose this. Matthew chapter 4. Verses 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Brother Larry once did a message on the word straightway, which means immediately. They straightway left their nets. How powerful of a message is that? If we think about church today and we think about Jesus today, I've heard stories of it taking years and years and years of the people hearing the same story over and over and over. It took Peter about 6 seconds to figure out what was wrong and that what he needed to do. It only took one statement. Verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, for them to believe. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he saith unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Verse 5 again, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. As lost people, we will always question. The question we will ask, why should we? Why should we believe in God? Why should we go to church? Why should we read the Bible? Why should we use this Bible? The lost always have those questions. And then, when you're proven wrong, then we'll believe. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Once we are broken, once we have realized that we are not in charge of our life, then we are ready to accept Jesus. Look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And once again, verse 18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Here we've had three examples of the same exact story of Simon Peter the first time that he met Jesus. And I do like how it says, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, which you don't have to turn there, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Once again, this is talking about the lost. The lost people, they are referred to as natural man. This first illustration shows how people are before Christ. Normal, everyday people, just like me. Just because someone's lost doesn't make them a monster. I've seen with my own eyes Christians belittle people that were lost, shun people that were lost, treat them different. I have witnessed Christians treating the lost in a negative light. But instead of that, shouldn't we have a burden for the lost? Amen. And why is that? Because once in this life, you were all lost as well. All right, second illustration. Look at the picture. This is a positive one. Christ is on the throne, inside the heart. And where is man? Man are on their knees, where we belong, worshiping Him. Spiritual man has Christ on the throne and lives under the dominant influence of the Holy Spirit. This is the ultimate goal of learning how to live the Christian life. When we can put God first, we are on the right track. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And yes, I know this is a lot of turning, but this sets up the context for this whole message. So bear with me. Acts chapter 2. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto him about 3,000 souls. What has Peter done with his salvation? He went and he spread the word. Amen. He multiplied. He did what God has told us to do. We've got the good news. Most of you in this room have the good news. Why do you want to hoard that to yourself? Don't you want to spread that among the world? I know that I do. And even though that I struggle with soul winning, I do go against my job when I talk about God and my walk with God, because I know God has everything for me that I need. I did want to look back at verse 40 again. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. He didn't just come up to the people and say, blah, 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 blah. He was explaining to these lost people what God had done for him and how God was where we needed to be. And obviously they listened. Peter, with God's help, was helping souls be saved. If you look at verse 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. A lot of the missions updates that I do, we hear about one soul. We hear about three souls. Just it discourages me a little bit to realize if we would have been living in the time when Jesus was around, how easy it would have been to spread the word and to believe. But now it's on us as Christians to show the people this living book and make them believe what you believe. What a great illustration of the second picture, verse 41 is. When God is at the center of your world, or in this case, your throne, look at what can be accomplished. God says, with him, nothing is impossible. Well, now that you are all warm and fuzzy, it's some time for some toe stomping. Let's look at the third illustration. This is the one that's the most disheartening to me to see as a Christian. But unfortunately, this is often where most Christians live their life. They have God in their heart. They have salvation. There was a time that they knew that they accepted God. Their soul is going to heaven. But then they just continue to live their lives for themselves. They push God away. This is the third possibility. Because we are free, Christ will never reign without our permission. As a result, we make choices and take actions which have the effect of dethroning Christ and once again putting myself or yourself above God. Let's check back in with Peter. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, Verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter states he would follow Jesus, and he even had shown it. But how quick do things change? Flip your page. Look at verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Look at how quick things changed. Just hours earlier, Peter is willing to die for Jesus. Then he turns his back on him, I'd say less than 3 or 4 hours later. Isn't this just like us today? Here's how the cycle works. You were lost, and then you turn your heart to Jesus and you find salvation. You're on fire for the Lord. The Lord is leading your life. Then as time goes on, the flame dims down a little bit, and you start to get a little chilly. And then the next thing you know, you are now considered a backsliding Christian. You all may be looking at me today. I'm not backsliding. I'm here on a Wednesday. Okay, but what about that movie you watched last night? What about that song that you sang on the way here? What about the browser history on your phone? Teenagers, what about the pictures on your phone? What about that small bet that you made online? What about the language that you speak outside these walls? What about the sports team that you're obsessed with? What about the nap that you may be taking right now? What about that drink you're going to have this weekend? What about the illicit drugs you take to make your life feel better? Do we not understand that sin is ripping Christ out of the throne of our heart? People, this is not fantasy land. This is real life. This sin will rip God away from you. Is that what you want? I know it's not what I want. And I have to look myself in the mirror every day and tell myself that. Because the inner man wants to do that. These are just a few things that represent this last illustration. We are putting ourselves on the throne and kicking Christ to the curb. Yes, when we make these decisions, we are literally pushing Christ off the throne. Is that you tonight? Now that I have most of everyone's attention, you may be wondering, what now? Once again, I'm glad you asked. Are you in number 3 and you want to get back to number 2? Isn't it wonderful that we have a forgiving God? We toss him aside and he still says, Come to me, my child. It is amazingly simple. The first thing you have to do is you have to want him there. You have to want Christ on your throne. He only responds to our desires and our invitation. Some people call that free will. If you want to deny him, he's going to allow you to deny him. But in the same sense, if you want him in your heart, he's going to come in your heart. Once we realize that flesh is on our throne, and assuming you want him there, we simply need to decide to dethrone our ego by an act of will and invite Christ to take control of the throne. This will most likely be a multi-time-a-day chore until we grow and allow him to reign for longer periods of time in our heart. Once we do this, we are positioned to move forward as God's child. All of a sudden, you will start to feel that little warmth as your fellowship with God gets stronger. To effectively live the Christian life requires that when we sin, we know how to appropriate the cleansing power of Christ's forgiveness. We started in 1 Peter, and I'm going to conclude there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Peter found the way to get back to illustration number 2. If you're not in number 2, can you figure out how to get back there? Last thing, and we are done. I'd like you to take your illustration, and I'd like you to write on it somewhere. Doesn't matter where. I want you to write this in all capitals. I want you to write the question, am I where I want to be? With 3 question marks. Am I where I want to be? Am I where I want to be? 3 question marks. The 3 question marks are important. Why? I have no clue, but they are. But seriously, I want you to take this paper. I want you to hang it on your mirror. And I'd like you to start trying to put Christ first every morning when you first wake up. Brother Larry, Miss Janann, if you guys would like to come up. Am I where I want to be?